are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It's December 5th, 2022. I'm calling in from a remote location for this live broadcast, and I pray that you prepare for tomorrow, the Feast of St. Nicholas. It's a very special feast day. So let us begin in prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we offer this program up to you. We pray that it will touch many hearts today. We pray for people who have never listened to this radio network, that they will tune in via radio, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, WTMR, however you want them to hear the broadcast. We pray that you select the people today to listen to this broadcast, and we thank you and praise you and entrust this program to your blessed mother. In your holy name, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, my friends, when was the last time you paused to really think about your life? Stop for a moment. When was the last time you paused to really think about your life? And was it last week, last month, maybe even last year? Or has it been a few years? When I ask people this question, particularly in my inner circle, I see them searching their minds for an answer. And then they usually say things like, well, I honestly cannot tell you. I mean, I think about things that are happening in my life or decisions that I need to make, but I can't honestly remember the last time I really had time to think about my life and how I'm living it. Now, does this seem like it's your profile? It certainly has been mine many times. So we're all so busy, aren't we? We meet up with friends who have retired from demanding full-time jobs, and they tell us they're busier than they've ever been. Resistance loves to keep us busy, and when we're too busy to reflect on how we're living our lives, it's almost certain that we're not busy doing the right things. And this is the topic for this broadcast. Are we too busy doing, quote, the wrong things when the Lord wants us to be doing the right things? And how do we define that? Now, there are four words that really embody the challenge of the Christian life. One, it's the name of this radio broadcast. We find them in the fifth line of the Our Father, Thy Will Be Done. The name of this radio broadcast. Now, these four words present the greatest challenge of Christianity. Did you know that? Now, how do you react to these four words if someone says, Thy will be done? What do they make you think about today? And how do they make you feel? And when you first read them in the Our Father or prayed about them, how did your body react? Now, it all depends on our personal image of God. If we see God as far away in the clouds, trying to control everything and everyone, we'll probably react to these words as, you know, an infringement on our personal freedom. But if we see God as a loving Father, who wants good things for us even more than we want them for ourselves, who always has been and taking our best interest at heart, then we react differently. Have you thought about that? For this reason, my friends, it's important that we constantly reflect upon our image of God. Now, how we see God has an enormous impact on our lives. Did you know that? Do you see him as a mean, vengeful type of father, or do you see him as merciful, loving, compassionate? Our image of God is the lens through which we see ourselves. Yes, it's the lens in which we see ourselves. I want you to think about that and the world. Our spirituality is impacted by the way we see God. It's always good to explore the assumptions we have about God from time to time. But don't really dwell on it. Don't be scrupulous about it, because that becomes harmful. Step back from time to time and ask yourself, hey, what is my image of God? I want you to ask yourself that right now, on the Schuylkill Expressway, in the office, in the kitchen, picking the kids up from school. What is my image of God? How do I see him, and what are his attributes? So I want you to write a couple things down if you can. Our image of God is so deeply ingrained in us, but it is easy for life and the world to corrupt that image. That's right. We may have a very healthy image of God, but every day we're fighting that corruption, aren't we, of that image. And a false or distorted view of God tends to distort our relationships with others, which are the foundation of life in this world. So when Jesus invites you to call God the Father, he's inviting all of us to a very intimate relationship with God. And he's telling us that the transcendent God of the universe is concerned with the needs of you, of each and every one of us. Now, Jesus is constantly presenting a beautiful image of God. It's only the context of this true image that we can fully embrace those four words and the name of this broadcast, Thy Will Be Done, which was given to me prophetically years ago when I really didn't want to do radio. And praying with my husband, it just came to me. Thy will be done, and the opening and closing song. So when was the last time you knew exactly what God was inviting you to do in a situation, but you did the opposite? I'm always fighting this one. We all fall into this willful rejection of thy will be done, don't we? We become so proud, arrogant, willful, and we, with our actions, we scream, my will be done, my will be done. But does it make you really happy, my friends? Did you know that this has been going on for a long time? Some of you know some of the stories in the sacred scriptures. Adam and Eve took and ate the fruit in the garden. Cain killed his brother, Abel. Lot's wife looked back on Sodom and Gomorrah, directly disobeying the instructions God had given her through the angel. Now, the Israelites rebelled against what God had said to them through Moses. And as a result, were left wandering in the desert for 40 years. God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh, but he flat out refused to go. Samson was told not to reveal the source of his strength, but it was Delilah. But he told Delilah. Do you remember that? Kathleen McCarthy was asked by Dominic Lethierry to take over this radio network. She said, No. I'm not worthy to take over this network. Well, the Lord intervened and told her this is what he wanted. And she always was open to thy will be done. Whatever you want, Lord, I will do. Now, we live in a culture that says the meaning of life is to get what we want. And that when we get what we want, then we'll be happy. Right? How many of us right now are thinking, if I just had that truck, or if I just had that car, that bigger house, that'll make us happy. If I won the lottery, that'll make me happy. We yearn for happiness because we were created for it. So we fall for the lie, don't we? We race off into the world to get what we want, but sooner or later, we all realize that getting what we want doesn't make us happy. God wants to help you today. If you're listening, God wants to help you become a phenomenal decision maker. Yes, you can become a phenomenal decision maker for the Lord. He wants to set you on fire with passion and purpose. And he wants your yes to be a passionate and enthusiastic yes. and your no to be a firm no. You see, it's so easy to become lukewarm, isn't it? But he doesn't want that for you. Now, I don't know about you, but many times in my life I've been lukewarm. The thing about being lukewarm is nobody ever thinks they are. I want to laugh because it's true. The thing about being lukewarm is nobody ever thinks they're lukewarm. I've had people share all sorts of personal failings with me throughout my 40-plus years in ministry. And they will tell me they have a problem with lust, pornography, gluttony, overeating, jealousy, judging others, gossiping. But I've never had someone say to me, I'm not a generous person. And I've never had anyone say to me, I've become lukewarm, like those people God talks about vomiting out of his mouth in the Bible. No one ever admits to it. Now, the other thing about being lukewarm, my friends, is that it's so easy to blend in, isn't it? You want to be politically correct? Well, you want to blend in. You don't want to become God's decision maker. Now, the lukewarm typically go to Mass every Sunday. And guess what? They give money to their parish and other charities. But from the outside, they appear to be committed Christians. But the lukewarm also tend to choose convenience and comfort over what is right and just. And they rarely talk about God or their spiritual journey. Jesus is part of their lives, but he is not at the center of their lives. They are not willing to make sacrifices to grow spiritually. And this is what we're trying to do through this broadcast and this Catholic radio network. They almost never think about heaven. The lukewarm almost never think about heaven, but are instead they're obsessed with the things of the world. They structure their lives so they never really have to trust God too much. Hey, I go to Mass every Sunday. I give in the collection. I give to charity, so I know I'm going to heaven. Wrong. The lukewarm watch television shows. They know don't make them their best version of themselves or good Christians. They swear. Curse words abound. And drink far too much from time to time. So they're just a few characteristics of the lukewarm. Just a few. So God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. Surprise! He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants to set us on fire today. And when we're on fire, we have great clarity and we become excellent decision makers. Did you know that? We will become excellent decision makers. Now, when did you last ask God to advise you about a big decision you had to make? I want you to stop and think for a minute. When did you last ask God to advise you about a big decision you had to make? Now, decisions, my friends, are the foundation of life. With each decision we choose, order or chaos, clarity or confusion, we choose life or death, with God or against God. And we have already discussed in previous broadcasts the insanity of choosing against God. But clearly, it's been going on for a long, long time, and we do it ourselves every day in some small way, don't we? So every decision we make leads us either towards the peace and happiness we want or from it. Our decisions are the foundations of our lives. St. Augustine famously wrote in Confessions, quote, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, Lord," end of quote. Many saints, my friends, and many sinners have found these words to be profoundly true. Now, God invites you, Joey, Mark, Mary, Louise, to go into a deep life of prayer so that he can fill us with a peace that nobody can take from us. If you have the peace of the Lord, no one can take it away from you. We all need something that nobody can take from us, and that's peace. Now, God wants to fill you today, this second week of Advent, with a peace that cannot be shaken, a peace that is untouchable. Now, surrender to the words that we shared and the name of this program, Thy Will Be Done. I want you to invite God into the center of your decision-making process. Seek His will in all things. Now, this is the road that leads to the happiness all of us desire. It's a happiness that's not fleeting or short-lived. It's lasting happiness in this changing world that's upside down. Now, the idea that we can find happiness outside of God's will, boom, it's one of the most absurd ideas in history. Now, listen to that. You can't find real peace, lasting peace, outside of God's will. Yet, how many of us employ this concept in some way, great or small, every day of our lives? Every day. A lot of times, it's learned behavior. Now, remember, there are four words that embody the Christian challenge and this radio broadcast, Thy Will Be Done, the fifth line of the Our Father. Now, tonight, I'd like you to take a few minutes to reflect on your image of God. How do you picture God? I picture Him as a Sacred Heart. This is how I picture Him. And then I want you to write down the qualities that make up the way you see God. For me, it's the heart, the beautiful, loving, compassionate heart and the Sacred Heart. Now try to trace each quality back to its roots in your life. Did your family have a very special devotion to the Sacred Heart? Mine did. Or you may have a picture of Jesus with in the sacred scriptures, walking on the road to Emmaus. It could be many things. But what is the strongest image that you have of the Lord? I want you to take time tonight. What is the image? When we pray for people in prayer ministry, we always ask them not to pray, to close their eyes and picture Jesus. It's the key for the person that you're praying for. Don't pray. We're going to pray over you. And we want you to picture Jesus. And for me, if someone's praying over me, I ask, please, Lord, I see you as the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Thy Will Be Done, the four words that we're talking about today that embody our Christianity and where the Lord wants us to go, not only during its Advent, but every day, every moment of the year. So, I'm going to ask you a question and answer out loud in the car, in your kitchen, in the highway, in your office. Do you consider yourself today a tourist on this earth, or are you a pilgrim? Many people think that this is it. This is it. Earth is it. Well, we're just on a journey, my friends. We're just on a journey. So do you want to be a pilgrim or do you want to be a tourist? Now, I want you to think about tourists. They want everything to go exactly as they've planned and imagined it, right? How many of us have been tourists on pilgrimages? And we rush around from place to place to another, making sure we cram everything in that we can see. And we're constantly buying souvenirs, knickknacks, many of which we look at when we get home and wonder, what was I thinking when I bought this? And tourists, you know, and I've been there, get upset if there are delays. What if your plane's delayed, your bus is delayed, even your Uber is delayed? You demand prompt attention and service to every need and desire, right? Doesn't it get worse today? Don't you see people so angry and so impatient? Tourists focus on themselves, often shoving past others to get where they want to go. Is this Christian? Tourists go sightseeing, and tourists count the cost. But pilgrims, my friends, are very different. They look for signs and wonders. If a flight gets delayed or canceled, they ask, what's God trying to say to me? Isn't this true? What's God trying to say to me? Pilgrims are not concerned with seeing and doing everything, just the things they feel called to see and do. And they're not obsessed with shopping. They're aware of the needs of others. Pilgrims go looking for meaning, and pilgrims count their blessings. Now, the reality is we're all pilgrims on this earth. This planet we call Earth is not our home, and we're just passing through. We build our homes, we establish ourselves and our businesses here on Earth in ways that typically ignore that we really are just here for a short period of time. It's a dangerous pastime to live as if you were never going to die. But consciously, or even subconsciously, we all fall into this, don't we? We're trapped. So we're only here on Earth for the blink of an eye. This is not our home. And that's why the happiness that God wants and created for us is very different from the fleeting happiness and momentary pleasures of this world. So you see, God created us for lasting happiness. Lasting happiness with Him in a changing world. And eternal happiness with Him in heaven. Now, the happiness He wants for us in this life is a rare kind of happiness that's not really dependent on situations or circumstances. So it's easy to be happy when everything's going well, isn't it? But Christian joy allows us to be happy, like St. Paul when he was in prison. Can you imagine St. Paul was happy in prison? Do you ever think about heaven? Answer this out loud, wherever you are. Do you ever think about heaven? It seems that we don't talk about it anywhere near as much as we should. When's the last time you went out for dinner and you talked about heaven with your family and friends? You should ask them, hey, what's your image of God? Where do you think heaven is? What is your opinion on heaven? Rudyard Kipling was very seriously ill. Do you remember him? And a nurse asked him, hey, is there anything you want? And he replied, I want God. We all do. We may not be aware of it, but we all really want God. And behind every desire for a new car, a new house, a promotion, accomplishment, clothes, jewelry, plastic surgery, adventure, travel, food, acceptance, and comfort, it's really our desire for God. It's really our desire for God. We're always hungry for something more complex, more complete. And God is that completeness, my friends, that we yearn for from the depths of our soul. Now, we're just passing through this life. And it is helpful to remind ourselves of that from time to time, to take pause, especially during Advent or Lent. In the context of eternity, we're only here for the blink of an eye. Realizing this changes our priorities. At the same time, we're here for a reason. You are here for a reason. God has a mission for you. God has a mission for you. For you see, life is a pilgrimage. It's a sacred journey. We think of pilgrimage, we think of going to a shrine or an important location. And you can make pilgrimages to the Holy Land, Rome, Fatima, Lourdes, the Camino, so many things. So when I say pilgrimage, it probably sparks trips. But very often, we make pilgrimages with special intentions in mind. Some ask God for a favor, perhaps to heal a loved one who is sick. Others make a pilgrimage in thanksgiving for a blessing they've already received from God. Yes, some go in thanksgiving, which is so critically important. Life is a pilgrimage. We're not to be tourists. But sometimes you need a pilgrimage to discover life. And we're journeying in this life toward the sacred city, towards the heart of God, which is heaven. Nobody makes the journey alone. We all need companions, don't we? We all need companions. Now, the best friends in the world encourage us. They challenge us to become really good people. And by doing so, they help us to get to heaven. Really good friends don't take you out to drink, to the bars, to gamble, to get involved in things you shouldn't be involved in. Really good friends build you up, build up your Christianity, build up your faith in the Lord. Let us pray today for the grace to be pilgrims and not just tourists. Let us pray today for the grace to be kind and the kind of friend who helps others in the pilgrimage of life. Can you do that with me? Now, Thomas Merton actually wrote a pilgrim's prayer, and I'd like to read it to you to reflect upon. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me, and I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself and the fact I think I'm following your will. It does not mean that I'm actually doing so, but I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, will I trust you always, though I may seem lost? And in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me. And you will never leave me to face my perils alone. We're just passing through this place we call Earth. We're pilgrims. So tonight, after this broadcast, and after actually the program with the trainer, I call him the trainer, and I want you to spend some time thinking about heaven. Can you do that? Because in the coming weeks, I'm going to have some incredible guests on that have been young and died, but what they said in their journey on this earth. Now, we all know the story, I hope. If not, look it up. Blessed Carlo Acutis from Italy, the young man who died of leukemia. He accepted God's will. He knew he was just a pilgrim on this earth. He wasn't a tourist. So I want you today to think, am I a tourist or a pilgrim? Am I truly living out the call from the fifth line of the Our Father, thy will be done? Am I really preparing for Advent? After the break, we'll be covering more, and I ask you to stay tuned, because as one reflects on the importance of living one's life as a pilgrim and not a tourist, you're taken into a deeper level of knowing yourself. So stay tuned, friends. We'll be back after the break.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
Welcome back to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done. And we are talking about Thy Will Be Done, how to really embrace the will of the Lord in our daily lives in the midst of the struggle, and to really embrace our pilgrimage on earth. Really, truly embrace, not just talk about it. So a lot of the dissatisfaction we experience in this lifetime, my friends, comes from forgetting that we are made for a mission. And not just the nuns and the priests and the lay evangelist. God didn't create us to be served. He created us to serve. So if you use something for a purpose it was not designed for, don't things usually start to go wrong? So I want you to think about this. Have you ever tried to use a snowblower as a vacuum cleaner? Right, that's a stupid idea, right? Have you ever tried to use a fire extinguisher to take a shower? Right, another stupid idea. Using things for something other than what they were specifically designed for usually ends up pretty ugly, right? But we do it every day with ourselves all the time. So God designed all of us, our human beings, for specific purposes. And when we stray from them, things tend to go wrong, right? And we start to feel dissatisfied at best and miserable at worst. You were made for mission. You will never have lasting happiness until you realize this and act on it. So every time you become a better version of yourself or you enhance who you are spiritually, God can use you more powerfully for his great plans. So you see, God wants you to serve. He really wants you to serve powerfully. And he wants you to become the best version of yourself as you can serve more powerfully than ever before. Are you really working on that? And he wants you to become your best self because he simply delights in you. No matter who you are, you're listening today, God delights in you. He delights in you. One of the essential lessons in what we're talking about today and in previous weeks is that we ultimately find happiness not by seeking gratification for ourselves, but by serving others. You were made for a mission. You were created to serve powerfully, and you will never be truly happy until you find a way to lay down your life for others, that engage your talents and abilities. Maybe you're a good chef. Maybe you like to cook. Maybe you could bring meals to homeless shelters. Maybe you like to sew. Maybe you like to drive the sick to their doctor's appointments. Place your talents and enthusiasm at the service of life. Did you know this was the message of St. John Paul the Great? He traveled around the world saying that. Place your talents and enthusiasm at the service of life. Service is central to your life, my life, all of our lives, of any Christian. We are not the masters. We are the servants. So what are your talents? Name them. I know that some of us who are listening are saying, I don't have any talents. Well, maybe you're confined to a nursing home chair, a bed. Maybe you're in the hospital. Maybe you're in prison. You can intercede and pray for all the people who are in need of prayer on this radio network. So really, what are you good for? So how is God calling you to make the world and the church better than those talents? So how do I discover what God is calling me to do? Every day, and we've been talking about this for over a year, how do we discover what God is calling us to do? God speaks to us through our talents. He speaks to us in many other ways too, but you have a unique set of talents, my friends, and abilities that are God-given. Our God is a God of purpose. He does things with purpose, for purpose, and one purpose. It stands to reason that he gave you, if you're listening right now, your particular mix of talents and abilities, and it may be singing, maybe drawing, because they match up with the mission he has in mind for you. You cannot focus on all of your talents at one time, and you cannot fully exercise even one of your talents in this lifetime. So it's critical that we turn to God from time and ask, so God, which talent do you want me to focus on at this time in my life? You may be in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. What do you want me to focus on, Lord? Maybe you don't have the energy to do anything but to sit and pray. Well, that's pretty powerful. You know, another question over the years has been, I really would like to do what you do. How do I get started? Do you know how many people have said, oh, I'd really like to do what you do? Many. And I always begin by saying that I did not set out to do what I'm doing. I certainly did not set out to be a radio broadcaster. And this work that God has called me to has evolved over time. All I've tried to do is take the next step that I truly believe God was asking me to take. And Kathleen McCarthy took the next step when she said yes to taking over this network. And no one, I'm a perfect example of being resistant to the next step. And often I've been lazy, afraid, and comfortable, and all these things have caused me to delay the next step. But over time, you realize you'll never be happy unless you take the next step, and it could be a baby step. And by some grace, you overcome the resistance and move forward. Now, think about that. A baby step. He's not asking you to buy a radio station. Well, that would be very nice. It may be making a pie or a cake for a person in need or knitting socks for a homeless shelter. What are your talents and what is your passion? What are you passionate about today? It could have changed over the last 5 years. What are you passionate about today? And why do you think God gave you those talents? You're very unique. Why do you think he gave you those talents? And why do you feel called to ministry? What in particular do you feel God is calling you to? Really be honest with yourself. Really be honest with yourself. You cannot be happy focused on yourself. You were made for a mission. It's deep within you. Only by serving others in a meaningful way do you truly discover the happiness that you've yearned for over your whole life. If you've just lost your wife or your husband, your child, if you feel like life is closing in on you, you lost your mother, you lost your job, you lost a means of keeping your home, and you're looking for a place to live, this is a time when perhaps your talents and abilities will change, and perhaps the talents and abilities of someone else will be enhanced by reaching out to you. Accept that outreach. Accept that love. Accept that embrace. Don't get caught up in what many have called you to do in the past. You might be a famous graphic artist, or might be a famous musician, or what you may be called to in the future. I want you to write down an invitation the Lord is giving you today as you can best discern it. Take the time. Turn the TV off. Turn your TV off. Let's look at how God wants your resume of life built as you prepare for him. And you need to, all of us need to reflect on the various people God has used throughout history to carry out his work. It's really perplexing, isn't it? If you really study the sacred scriptures, you'll be amazed at how God has carried out his work. And even today, God often chooses the most unlikely people to carry out incredible work, right? He really does. He often chooses unlikely people to carry out incredible work. Look what he did with Abraham. He was a liar. Moses, a murderer with a speech impediment. Jeremiah, in his tender-hearted youth. David, the adulterer. Peter, the betrayer. Paul, the Christian killer. God truly does write straight with crooked lines. And most of the time, even the people God chooses are surprised that they have been chosen. Now, have you ever wondered, my friends, what God looks for on your life resume? I'm not talking about a resume for work. I want you to think about your life resume. I want to do this tonight, so will you do it with me? We're going to write down our life resume, the good, the bad, how we knew to go to confession, how we received the sacraments, how we helped other people. But here's one thing. He asks only one thing of us. He can take care of the rest. It's like what Jesus did with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. God wants to do that with your life. The one thing God needs from you in order to launch you into mission, are you ready? Is availability. It's availability. It's the only thing he needs from any of us. Make yourself available to God, and trust me, incredible things will happen. So how available are you to God at this moment in your life? Oh, it's the busy shopping season. So 20%, 50%, 75%, 100%. Talk about resistance. We're resistant to making ourselves 100% available to God, especially during this busy shopping season, right? It's crazy when you think about it. We hold back from God because we want to be in control. That's right. We hold back from God because we want to be in control. It's one of the grandest delusions in human history. We're not in control, and we'll never be. Did you ever read the writings of St. Ignatius of Loyola? I love to make postcards of some of the beautiful writings of the saints, and I love this one. St. Ignatius of Loyola had an incredible ability to help people get beyond resistance. That's darkness. He was a genius at understanding human nature and how it impacts spiritual growth. This is why and what he wrote in the Spiritual Exercises about making ourselves 100% available to God. Now, this is what he wrote, and I'm going to quote this. There are very few people who realize what God would make of them if they abandon themselves entirely into his hands and let themselves to be formed by his grace. A thick and shapeless tree trunk would never believe that it could become a statue, admired as a miracle of sculpture, and would never consent to submit itself to the chisel of the sculptor, who, as St. Augustine says, sees by his genius what he can make of it. Many people who we see now scarcely live as Christians do not understand that they could become saints. Regardless of where you are right now, the Lord is calling you to become a saint. So I'm going to finish what St. Ignatius read and wrote. Many people who we see now scarcely live as Christians do not understand that they could become saints if they would let themselves be formed by the grace of God, if they did not ruin his plans by resisting the work which he wants to do. Now, I want you to pause and consider making yourself this Advent, this radio broadcast, 100% available to God. Now, try not to just read through these words or think about these words or listen to this broadcast again. I want you to take a minute and think about it. I want you to ask yourself, what are you gaining by resisting God? Is it really worth it? How much better would your life be if you surrendered completely to God? Now, if you don't know, try not to assume that it wouldn't be any better. Ask some people you know, who appear to have surrendered their life 100% to God. Ask them what the fruits of 100% availability to God are. Now, at the heart of the Christian experience is what our ancient Christian ancestors called conversion. Our ancestors, and today, we call it conversion. God is constantly inviting us to conversion. Conversion of the heart is a daily process. It's not a one and done. It's a daily, minute by minute, second by second, daily process. So why do we resist God? Because deep down, guess what? We don't trust him. So why do we resist God? If you're listening, yeah, because deep down, you just simply don't trust him. And why do we cast God and his ways aside? Why are we casting God and his ways aside? Because deep down, we think that God's trying to limit our freedom, right? Why are we casting God aside during this time and this day and this age? Because deep down, we don't trust him, and we think that God's trying to limit our freedom. Pope Benedict XVI, by the way, he gave a powerful insight into this behavior. He said, quote, "The human being does not trust God. Tempted by the serpent, he harbors the suspicion that in the end, God takes something away from his life, that God is a rival who curtails our freedom, and that we will be fully human only when we cast him aside." In brief, said Pope Benedict XVI, we mistakenly believe that only by casting God aside can we fully achieve our freedom, end of quote. This is a time for all of us to stop resisting happiness and fulfilling the will of the Lord, to stop resisting the joy of life-giving daily conversion. It's time to stop resisting God. I'm sticking the sword in the sand, Joan of Arc style. No time to waste. It's time to stop resisting God. Pray for grace. Ask God. Beg him to give you the wisdom, the grace, and humility to make yourself 100% available to him. Can you do that? We're going to pray a prayer of transformation at this moment. Loving Father, I come to you today to make myself 100% available to you. I lay everything I have and everything I am at your feet. Take what you want to take. Give what you want to give. Command me in all things. I will do whatever you ask me to do. Transform me and transform my life and lead others to you with my life and my love. Can you make yourself 100% available to God right now? Right now. For you see, incredible things will happen in your life. Pray this prayer every day. Lord, take my availability. Take my will. I surrender my life to you. Did you know that a lot of critics are, you know this really, that are surrounding us, and it's easy to let the critics distract you from what God is calling you to do in the present moment? Don't turn on the news. It's amazing how easy we can allow the critics to rob us of our passion and energy. Yep, those people who have betrayed us, who have hurt us, who criticize you for being a good Catholic, a good Christian, for loving the sacred scriptures, for loving the sacraments. We live our lives for an audience of one, and that's God. Surprise, we live our lives for an audience of one, God. Now, if you're doing what you believe God is calling you to do deep in your soul, celebrate this moment. Walk on. Celebrate this moment. Walk on. Also, I have on a note card this saying by Theodore Roosevelt. It's a huge poster that spans 8 feet by 5 feet. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who arrives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again and again, because there's no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. It's powerful, isn't it? Theodore Roosevelt wrote that. Be watchful, my friends. Be on guard against the critics. We have to armor up. We talked about this last week. We have to armor up against the critics, those who don't want to live the gospel, who don't want to live according to the will of the Lord, and don't want to live according to thy will be done. They don't want to live this way. They're coming against you. Be on guard against the critics. Resistance will use them to discourage you, or at the very least, distract you. Press on. Yep, let's press on with what matters the most. Perseverance is the antidote for the resistance put forth by critics. It's a great virtue. Perseverance. Availability. When you're discouraged or caught up in procrastination, here's a simple remedy for you. It works for me. Simply do the tiniest thing to move whatever you're working on forward. It might be cleaning your house, cleaning your closets, doing a major project at work, helping out at church. Simply do the tiniest thing. You don't have to take on the big project to move whatever you're working on. Perseverance is so powerful. And here's another quote. I love quotes. Calvin Coolidge, who was the 30th president of the United States, said, and this has been used many times, nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education alone will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. Now, the critics will always be there to come after you, but we need to be careful not to allow their voices too much space in our hearts, in our minds. I want you to think about a time when you allow critics to have too much influence in your life, and how you will handle this going forward for the next time that someone's coming after you. So if you scan the world on any given day, it's so apparent, isn't it, that all advances we have made in medicine, technology, our food supply, there is still an overwhelming amount of suffering on this planet we call home. And we see this again in the news. We see it as poverty, human trafficking, ignorance, greed, selfishness, abuse, don't we? We see it all the time. Jesus was clear when he said, anyone who has been given much, much will be expected of him. That's from Luke 12, verse 48. For you see, gratitude should always be our first response for all the blessings we have in our lives, even against the critics. Many writers over the past 20 years have said, you want to be healed of betrayal, of the critics, of the hurt? Bless them. That's right. You say, Lord, bless them. Bless them with your abundant graces. Bless them. It sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But for those of you who are listening right now and have been betrayed and you have critics, and you're having a hard time living out the will of the Lord, pray, Lord, bless my enemies, bless my critics. For you see, without gratitude, what was extraordinary yesterday becomes ordinary today, right? And without gratitude, a sense of entitlement takes over and begins to rot out our soul. Without gratitude, we get old and grumpy, or even young and grumpy. And gratitude keeps us young. It anchors us to the present moment. It reminds us of what matters the most in our lives and what really matters the least, and fills us with a resolve to carry on the great mission God has entrusted to all of us. Gratitude anchors us to the present moment. Again, bless the person, the critic who has hurt you. Bless them. Be grateful. Remind us of what matters the most and what matters the least. Count your blessings. Make a list of at least 10 to 20 people, experiences, things, or blessings you're grateful for tonight. Happiness is a choice, my friends, and I want you to really focus on this. And resistance, or the dark side, always stands between us and happiness, and you have to really break through it to experience the happiness you yearn for and the happiness God wants for you. Have you already started recognizing the villain in your life? I hope so through this broadcast. I hope so. By simply naming the darkness or resistance causes it to lose much of its power. You name it, you say it. Sometimes it's all you have to do, because once you name it, resistance or darkness in a certain situation, you recognize it for what it is and act to break through it. It hates action. When you do break through resistance and darkness, celebrate it and press on to live the life God imagined for you before the beginning of time. And if you ever feel discouraged or defeated, remember this. Every moment is a chance to start anew, a chance to turn it around. So I pray for all of you who are listening today, to embrace gratitude, to embrace the will of the Lord, to pray, Jesus, I trust in you, thy will be done. Jesus, I trust in you, thy will be done. I give you all of my availability. Help me, Lord, to see you in all things. Help me to picture you as a loving, merciful Father. Help me, Lord, to become a better person this Advent and for my family and for others. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for this radio time. I pray for all those who have listened and all those who will hear a rebroadcast in the future to be touched in a powerful way. I also pray for this radio apostolate to thrive, to grow to all the ends of the earth, to all the people who listen through various means, for all the people who participate, for Kathleen McCarthy, who will be on the air tomorrow from 4 to 6 p.m. on Facebook and on WTMR 800 a.m. Let us all together pray with joyful hearts tonight, despite our suffering and loneliness, knowing that Jesus has a plan and thy will be done, the fifth line of the Our Father. Close your eyes and pray the Our Father so we may all earn your love, and we cannot earn, but all gain your love, your mercy, through the compassionate love of God the Father. Until next week, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. God bless you.
Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.
see.